What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Money, Power, and Influence. This is BC, your host. I'm here with my co-host, Arash, and we're ready for another action-packed episode. What's up, brother? What's going on, man? It's been a week. I see you shining. I see you growing. It's awesome to see, dude. And, you know, one thing I noticed about, for example, you, is a week can pass by, but it seems like it's a completely different level of change in only 7 days, right? And then some people shoot just to change themselves a little bit over a year, yet I look at somebody like you, and there's such explosive growth even within a couple of days, man. It's really exciting. What's going on, brother?
Well. Can you hear me, first of all?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Well, what's exciting is I actually sold one of my businesses today. Can you believe that? Done deal. Check
awesome,
in the
brother.
Bank.
Congrats.
I know. Signed, sealed, and delivered. I sold the IMC Survival Center. Now, it's been in business for almost 20 years. April 4th would have been 20 years that I was in business. It's the original business I started at 21 years old. And I sold it today to the kid. Let me explain this to you. I opened this martial arts academy at 21 years old. I have 5 students that follow me from where I was teaching at. 5 of these adult students, 4 children followed me. Out of these 4 children, one of them had a brother who was 13 or 14. And he would come there and watch, and he was training martial arts at another place. So one day I looked at him and I said, what do you want to do when you're older? He goes, I want to be a martial arts master. I said, look, if you do what I tell you, one day you'll be the head instructor at IMC. And then if you do what I tell you then, one day I will give you IMC. I swear this on my mom, dad, and everybody who was important to me, my brother. And this is about almost 20 years ago. Well, that little boy ended up quitting karate at the other place, and ended up joining IMC, which is my academy. And I saw him not go to college, and I saw him go through, you know, breakups. I saw family members die. I saw him go through all kinds of things. And now he's 31 years old. 31 years old, he's still there. I always say loyalty is royalty. And I tell people this, it's a promise from the bottom of my heart. I swear on everybody listening, if you've done good to me, I will return it 10,000 times to you. And I swear if you've done bad to me, I will return it to you 10,000 times. That's on my life. Before I die, I'll pay everybody back what I need to. And so in this case, I was just looking at it a couple of months ago, and I realized that if I was going to have him in the position, which is he is the head instructor at IMC, I'd be holding him back. And not only that, he'd be holding me back. It would be a weird dynamic that I saw unfold with me and my masters in martial arts. And so before it became negative, I approached him. I said, would you like to have this academy as yours? And I offered it to him for the price of a very cheap car. And I told him that he could pay me $1 a day until he pays it off. And that was about 2.5-3 months ago that we've been working on this. And today, he became the owner of IMC's Survival and Fight Center. That's Tough Rubba, so I'm going to go do a video, and that's very exciting for me, man. So that's, I think, probably the most exciting business. Well, not really, but it's the most exciting business thing now until, like, 2 hours from now. What's going on with you?
Awesome, man. No, that's crazy, dude. That's such an interesting story, and to see that, man, you know. I remember hearing all the stories about you and Takaraba, too, so it's cool to see that happen. Well, with me, dude, it's, you know, on the real estate side, I'm actually working on my biggest deal. I've recently broken into kind of like the new construction type of thing, and I'm working with a client right now, and we're putting together a deal on this property that's going to be built this year in 2018 and completed in like November, December, and the total amount of the deal is going to be about $5 million, so it's going to be my personal biggest sale ever. But the cool thing about this particular deal is I actually acquired this client through YouTube, right? And from there, the relationship started, and just in the time that I've known him, we haven't even put the deal together yet. I've kind of like infiltrated his circle, and I've already met probably 5 or 6 people that those relationships are going to be invaluable to me for the rest of my life. And I remember telling people, I said, wait until I meet that one person or get that one client that opens the door for me to get into like the really high end that you guys see on TV, and I'm going to take that motherfucker over. Watch. Just give me one opportunity. And it's arrived. And it's happening, so I'm super excited, man.
That's so dope. I know that I know that promise that you made. I know that promise that you made. So I've made a few promises like that, and I know exactly, I know your energy, and I know where you're going. So we'll be traveling together, I'm sure.
Hell yeah, man. And when we close on that property, man, and it's done, we're going to have a big party, and you're invited, brother.
Hell yeah, I'm invited.
Okay, yeah. So I did the weekly ritual, and I posted on Facebook, which I've been doing, and I've been telling people, hey, if you have any questions for the podcast, ask them, and we have a few more. So we'll just I'll jump right into them. Just like last week, I'll throw the question at you, and then I'll give my answer after. So Joshua asked, he said, what do you find is the best way to build rapport with new clients that you get?
The best way to build rapport with new clients, is that the question?
Correct, yeah.
This is the issue with rapport. It's not one thing. Rapport is a series of things. A bunch of things done correctly will create rapport. So let me give you an example, a more concrete example of how you build rapport. The person comes in, and they are Asian, and you are Asian, and you're about to buy something. Immediately, there's more rapport. Why? Because you have, you know, they're from Vietnam. You're from Vietnam, let's say. And oh, hey, and you start speaking the same language. Now that's a certain level of rapport that no other person can have besides your own country, man. Or you walk up and you're wearing a Metallica shirt, and the person's favorite band is Metallica. Right away, oh shit, you like Metallica? This song, that song, now you're immediately closer than you've ever been. Now, if we add those two together, you listen to Metallica and you're both from the same country speaking the same language, look at what's happening to our rapport. It's picking up, 1-2. And then as that's happening, someone just says, hey, who won the 49ers game? And someone says, oh, blah, blah, blah. And yes, oh, you both celebrate. And now you got another thing. Rapport is a continuous thing that happens. But what it's based on is we like people that are like us. That's it. If you understand that, is we like people that are like us. The way rapport is broken when salespeople try to do it, which is incorrect, is they make it obvious that they're trying to build rapport. And that actually goes against building rapport. It's anti-rapport. An example of that would be if, for example, you walked up and you were going to buy a car and you said, I can't wait to go to fucking yoga today. And the person's like, oh, wow, you do yoga? What kind of yoga? And you're like, it just sounds kind of fake. And you're like, I do Bikram yoga. And he's like, oh, I've always wanted to do Bikram yoga. Now tell me about it. And you're like, shut the fuck up already, right? The moment that someone realizes that you're trying to build rapport, that cuts rapport. Outside of that, remember this basic law. We like people that are like us. Remember that shit. That's what I'll say about it. Right.
Great answer, man. I love it. And it's so simple yet so effective, right? Because people will get into, oh, you need to do this and that and this. But that basic understanding is literally, I was thinking about that today when I met with this guy. Because I brought one of the new guys that we hired with me. And, you know, this is like an appointment with the client. We're talking numbers, but we're also kind of, you know, getting to know each other. And this new guy's like, wow, man, it seems like you guys have been friends for, you know, forever. I was like, well, that's a skill, man, and you can learn it, right? But that basic datum is what I told him in the car. I said, people like people that are like them, man. If you can understand that, then you're good to go. And, you know, if I can give an example from my world, right, to the person Joshua asking the question, you know, when it comes to building rapport, in my industry, I know that if somebody comes to me and approaches me about buying a house or selling a house, I already know. For the majority, right? There's always an exception to the rule, but to the majority, it's a process that's uncomfortable. There's a lot of question marks there, and they don't get it. So one of the things that I focus on the business side, is I want them to be calm. I want them to be confident. I want them to look at me immediately as the expert, and that in itself is already going to open the door to us being comfortable with each other, and then from there, I can start applying everything else. But that's the first thing that has to be established. So, you know, I think I saw Joshua. I think I recognize you. I think you're in real estate. So come from that perspective, right? If those things are in line, then now you've opened the door to do everything Arash just said, right? Because you have to remember that anytime you do anything in real estate or some kind of high-ticket item like this where people are spending a lot of money or they're making a big move and this decision is a huge decision, there's already going to be a lot of uncertainty there, and it's part of your process and what you're doing to alleviate that, all right? So, Joshua, thank you for the question, my friend. Next question. I'll throw this one to you, Arash. When communicating with someone that's stuck in their perspective, how do you bring them out to consider yours?
That's a good question. I like this question because the answer is an answer that is going to be hard to come by unless you know me. So I'll give you guys a great answer. If somebody's stuck in their perspective, the fastest way to get them out of it is to hear out their perspective completely, and show them, not faking it. You have to really show them that you're trying to get where they're coming from. And I want you to actually try to get it. Like for me, it's common. It's so common when I'm dealing with people and they start making like really stupid choices around me. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? Are they fucking retarded or what? And when I get into this weird argument where I'm now trying to convince a human being of doing the most obvious fucking thing that I think everybody can see, here's where I stop. I go, all right, I must be missing something because I refuse to think someone's that stupid. I mean, you know what I mean? That's what it is. When we talk about someone stuck in their perspective, we're not talking about a perspective that to us sounds very intelligent. I'm sure you're not going to be like, Einstein was stuck in his perspective of relativity. Like, that's just not in anybody's position to say that. So if a person is asking that question, we're assuming they're stuck on an idea that just seems stupid to somebody else. So either I'm really wrong in my evaluation of the situation, or it's obvious. And it's obvious to me because I can lay down my logic. So long story short, if it's so obvious and they're stuck in it, then I need them to feel comfortable enough to tell me what it is they're not telling anybody. Now get this for a second. And if you know how to communicate well and listen well, suddenly they'll tell you things but they haven't told anybody. And the stuck point of view is resting on something you can't see because they're not stupid. But they're making a decision on an idea that you don't know. That's why you can't see why they're being so stupid. So the best way to get somebody out of it is to hear them fucking out. And it's funny because when they start saying it, if you don't resist it, something changes in them because they hear how stupid they sound. And that's why they haven't been telling people. They don't tell people because they know they're wrong. You get the difference? This is very psychologically tricky, but when I break it down, it's like, fuck, Arash is a genius. Yeah, your mom knows that too. Of course, I'm a genius. So what I'm saying is, you hear them out carefully, and you try to get how they're coming to that decision. They will divulge things to you that they haven't divulged to others. When they do that, they sound kind of ridiculous. Like they'll say, for example, well, you know, I want to keep the job because, to be honest, I'm actually scared of the new job. I think I'll fail. And they haven't told anybody that. You go, oh, why do you feel like you're going to fail? They're like, fuck, I don't know, like I'm new. And as they start talking, now you can help them with their perspective because you're actually now going to talk about the actual problem. Before, you're getting frustrated because you're talking about a made-up problem. That wasn't their fucking problem, right? You don't have to take my word for it, but that's what I know. That's it. I'll pass it on.
Love it, man. I think for Jonathan, that's as thorough of an answer as you're going to get. I really want to reiterate what you said about really genuinely listening to them and understanding the perspective. When I'm making calls and talking to clients all the time, I talk to people who are so just 100% absolutely misinformed about real estate and how this stuff goes, either because of the bullshit that's said in the media about real estate and how it works, or other uneducated agents in the market who feed people lies to try to get business, you know, so on and so forth, that I've literally faced daily with conversations like that. And you said it great. When they themselves say it, they realize how stupid it is. And a lot of times, I train my people, and I'm like, as dumb as they sound, like, you do need to genuinely really understand where they're coming from, right? Because then from there, you have something to work with. And I truly believe that I've been able to get a lot of clients just because of that. Just that first step that you said, even without the second portion that you went over, which was fantastic, just really genuinely saying, okay, I'm going to listen to this person and I'm going to really understand where they're coming from, right? Because the immediate reaction that a lot of people give is they want to fight them, and we know that when you start arguing, you're going to get nowhere, right? Because you force people to defend their position. And it's just something that I deal with on a daily basis. So hearing your answer was very refreshing, man. And you're right. I've never heard anybody break it down like that. And it's very, very, it's genius, man. So let's get on. I think I have one more question here, man. Let me look. I think I saw it, but I think the same person deleted their question. I don't know why they would delete their question, but let's see. Oh, okay, yeah. I guess they edited it, and all they said was money. So I guess the question is just money. I don't know what they mean. I'll see if they wrote it anywhere else. They didn't. Okay. So that's all the questions we have, brother. So I know we're working on doing an event together. I posted in the groups, and I'm going to be talking to you privately about that as far as getting a date, but I think doing it in San Jose would be ideal as the first one. So I would just have to get in contact with you regarding the schedule to use one of your venues. Cool?
Yeah, totally. I was on mute, for sure.
Okay, perfect. Well, yeah, I mean, we can kind of go open mic for a couple minutes if you want, brother, if you have any topics that you want to throw back and forth or any words of wisdom you have for any of the listeners.
Yeah, of course I have a lot of words of wisdom. I would say that life is not as confusing as you think it is, everybody. It's only confusing because you're listening to people who are confused. Now, it's easy to tell who's confused and who's not confused. There's a look in their eye. See, the eyes don't lie, you see. Look at people's eyes when they talk. When they're walking around, look in their eye. It's kind of uncomfortable, but if you could see their eyes, the eyes don't lie. Now, I want you to imagine something. This is an exercise that I would give to my top students. And my condition is changing in life, so I can now teach you guys some more advanced things, you know. So, here's an exercise. I want you to imagine you're talking to a person who's wearing a mask and you can't see their face. You cannot see their face. You can see their eyes, though. Their eyes are visible, like a ninja. And you could hear the sound of their voice. See, the sound of a person's voice, when you add that to the look in their eyes, will tell you, it'll betray their true intentions and ideas and their true emotions. And so, a lot of times, what's happening is you're falling for the words that people use. They'll say something like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing, and then you look at them, there's fear in their eyes. There's fear in their eyes. Like something that I would teach somebody, if they're in a relationship, I would say, look at your mate's eyes when they talk to you. Are their eyes soft? Are their eyes hard? Do they look at you with a warm, compassionate eye that feels like an opening, or do they look at you like a cold, hard steel? That should tell you where the relationship is. And you always want to look with that warm eye. But they should see that steel in your eyes too, just not directed at them. They should see it directed at the enemy. But it's important to see that. So what I would say is simply this. Many times, you guys are trying to influence somebody, but your eyes and the sound of your voice betray how are you really feeling? Because subconsciously, the other person is designed to be able to read through your bullshit. Now, they've gotten worse at it, but real power lies in making sure your eyes and your voice communicate the same exact thing. If you can do that, you'd be shocked at how you could influence the world. You could say things that other people can say, but in your case, it will penetrate a person's mind and their heart. Why? Because it's your eyes. It's the eyes. Energy goes through the eyes, and you can see through the eyes. So, there you go. Go on my Diamond Mind, everybody. Go to arisethepower.com. Join Diamond Mind. I'll daily coach you about 4 to 5 days a week, and I'll give you 1 hour lecture a week, normally, unless I'm out of town, and you get to ask me any question you want. You'll be surprised how much you're going to learn. Okay? That's it for me. I'll pass it on.
Love it, brother. Love it. So thank you, everybody, for coming and tuning in. We will get back to you shortly regarding the event. And, yeah, other than that, same place, same time next week, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Money, Power, and Influence podcast. Again, thank you, brother, for being here. Always an honor, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.